am, in fact, Barb Sattler, and she did know that. and I'm delighted to be here today. Robin Gilden is experiencing some health challenges, and this really is her work. And it's informed substantially by Marjorie Buchanan, who is also here in the audience today. And so I'm going to try and do some justice to this project for Robin. She's a very complete person, and so has articulated some learning objectives that you will have here to begin to think about how, for those of you who are in an educational setting, a school of nursing, where you have undergraduate clinical experiences in community and public health, how you might consider the integration of environmental health in a more thoughtful and more expansive way, and then to think about it through the mechanisms that and the experience that she's had. And more specifically, she did it through a faith-based organization, so to have some information on that. The work that Robin has done, as is true of all of the clinical undergraduate clinicals in community public health at the University of Maryland, are informed by several sort of models and pieces of nursing theory. The Los Angeles County Health Department nurses developed a model that I'm sure several of you are familiar with, really taking the public health nursing practice model from starting with assessment, and what you'll see is that we provided additional assessment tools on the environmental health through diagnosis and all the way around to evaluation. But this is the model that sort of predicated the work. In addition to that, the service learning model, so to speak, is one that Marjorie really was quite interested in, has really helped to get our various clinical nursing faculty to really incorporate into the way that they're doing their work, so that they're always giving back to the community at the same time that they are also being informed by the community. It's a very community participatory model. And I just also wanted you to know that in preparation for doing some of the work in the communities, particularly the first time that a nursing student may go out into a patient's home to do a home assessment, Marjorie helped to develop, with Robin and others, to develop a clinical simulation lab that we actually have in the School of Nursing, which is a simulated apartment. It's got a kitchen and a living room and a bedroom. And so what they were able to do was they actually set up several environmental health risks in that apartment, along with safety risks and other sort of traditional public health risks. And the reason that they were making this visit was because there was a child, the way this was set up, they were visiting the home because a child who lived in that home had increased symptoms for asthma and respiratory problems. And half of the students had to act as though they were family members in the apartment. And then the other half of the nurses were there to actually do the assessment. So some of the environmental health risks that were set up included having cigarettes around, having medications that were not appropriately stored so that they were unsafe storage, having some pesticides that were just out and about so that children could have access to it, but also which made it clear that there were pests and that there was pesticide use in that area, having a pet present. And also, in the bottom right, you see that's a bed, and on the bed are some workers' clothes, which were the clothes of the people who lived in the apartment that had some white dust on that. So the nursing students had to figure out, well, what might that be, and eventually determining it was actually take-home dust from the work setting and therefore creating a take-home toxin possibility there. So this was a great learning experience for them. It also really helped to give them some comfort in looking at these both public health and environmental health risks when they went to people's houses. And additionally, it helped those students who pretended to be the patients or the people who lived in the home to understand what it feels like to have somebody scrutinizing their home place. And you know, what that brings up for them. I'm a bad parent, or I'm a bad cleaner, or I'm a bad this or that. So that was really important for folks to have a sense of being sensitive to how people feel when we're coming into their homes. Additionally, what informed the environmental health integration here was the 1995 report by the Institute of Medicine, which is part of the National Academy of Science, that recommended that environmental health be integrated into all levels of nursing practice, our education, our practice, our research, and our policy work. It has further both helped to inform the work that has been done by the public health nursing section here at APHA, where they recently adopted a set of environmental health principles that calls for the integration of assessment activities on environmental health. So let me kind of move through these models. We also use Dixon and Dixon's models with the four domains. And one of them, when you look at the physiological domain, you see exposures there, which can include environmental exposures. When you look at vulnerability domain, you can look at environmental justice and the issues that are associated with communities that are disproportionately, both disproportionately vulnerable as well as disproportionately affected, and so on. And I'm going to move into some of the tools here. For their assessment tools, there were a couple of things they did. I'm happy to note that Allison Davis, who is in the audience here, helped to create what is a two-page, very nice tool for doing home assessments that we have up on our website at the University of Maryland, and that you can get from Allison and others. But this is a nice tool for undergraduate nurses to use. It's a relatively simple, but really gets to a lot of key issues that are environmental exposures, from chemicals that are neurotoxicants, that are carcinogens, that are respiratory irritants, that are asthmogens and asthma triggers, etc. Let me just move along here. Basically, the goal of any clinical for undergraduates is to help them to have a variety of experiences in terms of assessing individual families, homes, institutions like schools and daycare centers, as well as the community at large, and to have them identify a need in the community, a public health need in the community, that they then develop some programming around. The additional specific objectives are to do an assessment to identify, once they've assessed a need, to identify what resources exist, which may be the community resources, or it may be from the state health department or from national NGOs and so forth, and then to also be appreciating the role that public health nurses have in pulling all of this together, unlike any other resource, human resource in the community, to work collaboratively. So, for instance, in this clinical, what happened was that we now, in the City Health Department in Baltimore, have a Healthy Homes Division, and they have sanitarians that go into the homes and do evaluations for lead-based paint and other lead exposures. The nurses partnered with these sanitarians, so they actually did their home visit with a sanitarian who had a lot of skills in this issue area around lead, and did a risk assessment with the sanitarian, really helping them understand what a sanitarian's role is in the public health department and so forth. And let me move across here a little bit. So why faith-based organizations? Well, Robin Gilden herself has a very strong personal relationship to her faith-based organizations, and when she was looking at one of our communities of great need in Baltimore City, which is the Upton community, it's a very poor community, a lot of drug issues, a lot of HIV, just a myriad of basic public health and health, acute health issues. But she noticed that it had 11, that community had 11 faith-based organizations, and so she hooked up with one of the biggest and oldest churches in that community called Union Baptist. Been around for 100 plus years, very active in civil rights through the 50s and 60s, and continues to be very active in the community. But generally speaking, faith-based organizations are in all of our communities. They have communication and social networks that reach out. They have a mission to serve in a variety of ways, and will often have subcommittees that are their wellness ministries. So they often know who's sick in their congregation and in their communities, who have mobility problems and so forth. They also will be supportive of lots of other kinds of programming. It might be, Alcoholics Anonymous that meet at their church, or they have Head Start. In the case of Union Baptist, they have Head Start, Girl Scouts, and also support schools. And they're also connected in larger ways to the rest of the community. So the Upton community, as I mentioned, had it's a community that has been in transition probably for 50 years, so I'm not really sure even what transition means anymore, other than some of the black people that live there who got meaningful jobs moved out, and now what we continue to have are black people there who are, it's more working poor and the poor. And so they also have a variety of programs that are new and growing. So, for instance, Union Baptist just got a big grant to put a computer lab in their church and help people in the communities to utilize the computers, both for their own personal education, but also to work for the community betterment. They also, Union Baptist, runs a Head Start program. So that allowed the nursing students to observe normal growth and behavior and observe for any aberrancies in the children's behavior with Robin being their mentor. The other kinds of organizations I mentioned, the Baltimore City Health Department, their Healthy Homes folks work very closely. Robin has now begun to work with the two elementary schools and the middle school there. The middle school is now helping to put together a community garden. Robin will be helping them to work with them on nutrition programs associated with the community garden. There are some health clinics in the community, and there are other universities besides the University of Maryland and other parts of the University of Maryland, including the dental school and the medical school, as well as Johns Hopkins and Coppin State, which is a state University of Maryland, that have a variety of people there, nursing students, dental students, medical students, etc. This is a brochure that was created. This is an ongoing clinical, so every semester, but not during the summer, every semester Robin is there with a different small group of 8 to 10 students, so there is continuity within the activities there. This brochure, if you open it up, talks about what the capacity of these nursing students are to assess a playground, a home, a school, a daycare center, etc., as well as to develop resources and educational programs. So the activities that they were involved in, a big one that they pulled off was a health fair, and they had all kinds of folks. They had people from the dental school who helped to connect the folks in these communities to the dental clinic. They had colon cancer, breast cancer, lead poisoning prevention. They were able to get food from Whole Foods donated for the program. And so over time, they've developed educational materials for the Head Start program, for the equivalent of the backpacks that go home with those children. They've done presentations for the parents in the Head Start program. They did a survey of the community members to find out what their needs and interests were so that this can continue to inform the program over time. And I think I'm going to just scoot down to just disaster planning. One of the things that the Reverend asked, because they didn't have any kind of disaster plan for the church itself, was to evaluate the church. It's a very big building. Evaluate it for safety and for things like routes of egress, should there be a fire or other problems there. How to identify mobility issues within the church if there was somebody who had a mobility issue, how you'd get them out of there fast. But that helped the students to then think about the neighborhood as a whole and begin to think about disaster preparedness. Remember, these are undergraduates, so they helped to make that leap. And so some of the challenges is that historically we have not explicitly included some of the environmental health issues that Robin included, and so it's getting that out more broadly and getting tools out there. Another problem was that in working with faith-based organizations is helping the students who are from different faiths or no faiths understand that because you are partnering with a faith-based community-based organization doesn't mean it's about your faith. It's about utilizing that route and that entree into the community. So there were lots of very good conversations about this. And I had to ask Robin, these are Robin sites, what Monday is Sunday meant. And basically what that means is when you work with faith-based organizations, they work like crazy on Saturday and Sunday, particularly Sunday. And then Monday is their sort of day of rest. So if you're going to do a clinical with a faith-based organization, make sure it's not on a day when they're not doing anything. You want to be there when they've got a robust amount of activities there. And also some of the times the things that they're engaged to in churches, those things happen in the evening. So you've got to work with your students to be flexible about when they'll attend. But there were plenty of opportunities to engage. The red tape she talks about here was that she thought she could just call the school nurse from the school nurses, from the schools nearby. Well, you're not allowed to do that. And so she was told she had to talk to the supervisor. And so the supervisor said, well, you're not allowed to talk to me either. You've got to go to the community relations person. And like this took weeks to just wind up getting back to be able to talk to the school nurse in the community. So that was just an issue to just note, but you guys all know that kind of thing. So the areas that we feel like there's great capacity to grow this, and even within the other clinicals within the School of Nursing, we're now really bringing more environmental health to other clinicals. Marjorie is certainly a huge champion of that, but some of our other clinicals, which are in Head Start programs and in senior centers and in schools, et cetera. And this has really created wonderful conditions for us to develop relationships with folks in the communities and then to build community even more, facilitate that. We've reached out to another number of organizations, and one of the things that was true in this community is that even though there were 11 churches, they didn't talk to each other. So by addressing things like a disaster plan for the community, that was a way, even though it's probably not the number one thing that community needs, but what that means is that helped to create the conditions to bring people together. So it was more sort of the method versus the madness. And so I think that this has been just really terrific. The students have learned an enormous amount that they've also taken back to evaluate their own homes for environmental risks. And I think that I would really encourage folks to consider how to integrate more environmental health into their public health practice. Thank you.